Victory over injustice. Amen. Victory over injustice. Our memory work was Philippians 2:12 last week. Amen. Philippians 2:12. And we talked about Onesimus and how Onesimus was going to have to work out his own salvation, being in a very uncertain situation. By the way, speaking of uncertain situations, we talked about Onesimus going back to Philemon with the letter. But guess what? When you go back to your jobs tomorrow, you don't know what awaits you.
That's right, Pastor, you don't.
You know, Shane is going back to the University of Arizona. He doesn't know what awaits him tomorrow.
Right.
As we go to face our children, whether it's homeschool or Christian schooling or public schooling, we don't know what awaits our children. And so injustice may be just right around the corner. You never know. And so how are we going to face that? We have Rose here. Alyssa. Alyssa came in last week and just out of the blue, I want to get saved.
Amen.
Rose didn't know that was coming. And so we really face an unknown future. And God is the only one that knows. But aren't you glad that we can trust our future to God? Amen.
Amen.
And what he wants is for you and I to work out our own salvation. Philippians 2:12, let's say the reference. Then we'll read the verse and then the reference. Here we go. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together here in the Sunday school hour, Lord, we may again see the victory that we can have in Jesus, even over injustice. It's inevitable. For some, it may happen today. For some, it may happen tomorrow. For some, it may happen in the very near future. For some, it's happened in the past week. And help us to gain the victory over injustice, no matter when or where it may take place. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Meet our need today. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Philippians 2:12. Let me give you the answers for where we are at thus far. And again, dealing with the victory over injustice. Roman numeral 1, we looked at the reality of injustice. It is real. You and I are going to go through injustice. Whether right or wrong, whether we like it or not, we're going to face it. The reality of injustice. And then we saw Onesimus was considered an unprofitable servant. By the way, someone may consider you unprofitable, whether it's justified or unjustified or unjust. Somebody may consider you as unprofitable. How are you going to treat it? How are you going to handle it? How are you going to come back from that? How are you going to minister? How are you going to work with people? Then we saw Onesimus was saved but still suffering. Onesimus was saved but still suffering. And by the way, before we actually get into the lesson, I want to look at a few things by way of being saved and still suffering. How many of y'all are familiar with the book of 1 Peter? Many of us should be. The book of 1 Peter, Peter's writing to a group of Christians that have been scattered due to persecution. Go to the book of 1 Peter with me. And so you could say that the brethren that Peter's writing to were facing an unjust situation or injustice. 1 Peter. And notice in 1 Peter, let's start in chapter number 1. And notice verse, let's see where we're at here, 6. Peter said, wherein you greatly rejoice, talking about in your salvation. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Heaviness there means crushings. You're being crushed through manifold temptations. You got these trials. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So Peter says, you're going through a crushing time right now through the different trials. It feels like you can't bear up underneath them.
Right.
But he says the result or the goal is that your faith being tried is going to be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. In other words, it's for your good. Man, that's pretty encouraging, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is, Pastor.
The trials that I'm going through is for my good. Amen. By the way, I had to look at this the same way. I said, Lord, this is meant for my good. I don't know what good it is going to come out of it. But I said, Lord, show me your good that you're trying to prove to me out of this. You know, whether it's to have me be still and be quiet, whether it's to teach me that I'm not 25 like I used to be, whether it's to teach me to, you know, you're going to have to go it a little slower in the future. Be it that, you know what, you need to rest a while and stop being on the go so much. But I've been forced to be like this for the past several days with my foot up. And you talk about a battle to not murmur and complain. I don't want to be stationary. I want to go. I want to do. I want to be busy. And God is saying, now what you going to do? You're either going to complain or you're going to be content. Which one is it going to be? Well, what is complaining going to do?
Nothing. No good.
Well, it will do something. It will annoy my wife.
Make it worse, Pastor. Make it worse.
And allow the children to see Dad complaining when he always preaches about contentment to them. And so possibly God is saying, now I want you to be a living sermon to your children about this thing called contentment that you normally tell them about. And so I don't really know what God is working with this, but I've asked God, show me, Lord, why this has happened, because I don't really comprehend it all.
Amen.
It could be as simple as stretch before you exercise next time. You know, stretch first. I don't know. But you and I are going to go through some crushing situations that we don't like, and we're going to think it's an injustice towards us. And you got to ask God, what are you teaching? What do you want me to learn? What's going on with this situation? Because it does none of us any good to be blue.
That's right, Pastor. It does not.
Yeah, no poochy lip disease. Is God good?
Yes.
Is he good all the time?
Yes, he is.
Then we know it's not a problem with God. If it's not a problem with God, then where's the problem lie at?
In us.
I'm either going to be victorious, a conqueror, be content, or I'm going to be a complainer. And according to Philippians, do all things without murmuring and disputing. So Peter says here, what's going on in your life could be a trial and you've got to be content. Go over to chapter number two. Chapter number two, and notice verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an what? Example, that ye should follow his steps. What were these steps? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And so we, too, are going to go through something similar. Go over to chapter number 3. And notice verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So Peter says, when you're going through these sufferings, remember Christ, our example. Remember, this is for a trying of your faith is more precious than of gold. Then over here he says, and when you do suffer evil, don't try to get back at somebody. Not rendering evil for evil. Ooh, it is so tempting, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Pastor.
When somebody do you wrong, it is so tantalizing. It's so tempting to say, you get me wrong, buddy. You wait till your time comes. You got it coming. And I like what the Bible says, sowing and reaping. Yep. You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than what you sow. And I'm going to be the one to give it to you. And that's the way we think sometimes. And then the Lord says, is that the way a Christian should behave?
That's right.
No. But it was unjust. It was unjust. Then he says, remember me. But Lord, we're talking about me. We're not talking about you. Leaving us an example, verse 21, that you should follow in his steps of chapter number 2. I don't know about you, but I struggle with the flesh. My first instinct says get even. My first instinct says get even first, be Christ-like second. I know y'all are all spiritual. And y'all all think Christ-like first. Oh, I'll just forgive him right away. No, my first instinct says get him. And then the Spirit steps in and said, did you forget who was here and who was in charge? Oh, yeah, I forget, yeah. Saw that old man laying over there in the corner. I figured I'd go and consult with him. He said, no, the old man's supposed to be dead.
That's right, Pastor.
But when it comes with injustice, we've got to remember the old man is still there.
Yep.
And the old man does not like injustice. And the old man still likes to stand up for his rights. Come over to chapter number 4, 1 Peter. Verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Over in chapter 1, he says, hey, try me your faith. It's going to be more precious than gold. Now he says, but don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial. I mean, this is heated stuff, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice.
Amen.
Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Mm-hmm. You know, I went into the emergency room to get this checked out, and you know, the lady said, what are you in here for? And I said, well, I think I pulled my Achilles tendon, and they did all the tests, and they came back, and they gave me this boot. And so as soon as I saw the boot, I knew that meant immobilization. I knew the boot meant that I'm going to be confined. And so I had to rejoice.
Yep.
I said, Lord, you know how much I like to be on the go. And so I started picking with the nurse. I said, so you're giving me the boot, huh? She said, you started this now, so yes, I'm going to give you the boot. I said, well, I guess I'll just have to take the boot. Amen. And we kind of joked around with that. Why? I had to rejoice because my flesh said, complain. You don't want the boot.
That's right, Pastor.
But then Christ says, take the boot.
Or you
might get worse than the boot. And so it says, but rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory should be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. He goes on there, verse 19, notice what it says, or verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So Onesimus was saved, but he was still suffering. You and I are saved, but we're still going to suffer. How many of y'all agree with that? Amen?
Amen.
We are. So I'm going to pick up and give you the blanks on this next area, and then we'll go forward. Roman number 2 is the revelation of Christian grace. The revelation of Christian grace. Then A, love every believer in Christ. And I would add, and non-believer in Christ. Love every believer in Christ and every non-believer. Then B, encourage every believer in Christ. Encourage every believer in Christ. Then number 1, review him, he is profitable. Review him, he is profitable. Then to receive him as a brother. Receive him as a brother. Okay. So, of course, this is taking the route that you are dealing with someone that is going to get saved or is saved already. But it is very applicable to an unbeliever, to someone that is not saved. By the way, is injustice fair? No, it's not fair. No one ever said it was. And if anyone says injustice is fair, they have lied to you because it is not fair. Amen. Is life fair? No, no. People were born what? Sinners. And what do sinners do?
Sin.
And guess who they sin against besides God?
Other people.
Other people. And so because they sin, they are going to cause an injustice in your life and an injustice in my life. It's the fact of life. Amen. We saw what is injustice, unfair treatment, an unjust act, an absence of justice, an unfairness. And we talked about this. Justice is the process or result of using laws to fairly judge and punish crimes and criminals. And our law has to be the word of God. We cannot judge by man's laws because man's laws are always changing. So back over to Philemon. Let's go to Philemon. Man's laws are always changing. So it's got to be judged by the law of God. Philemon, you've got 2 Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon. And in Philemon, let's pick it up at verse number 9. Paul says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now, just imagine, put yourself in this situation. Just imagine, just for a second. You're getting a letter from a Christian brother or sister that you love dearly, you respect, and possibly they were responsible for leading you to Christ. And you're getting this letter. And they're telling you to receive this other person who just did you wrong real bad, because that's exactly what happened. Onesimus left him, ran away, gave him a bad testimony amongst all the other owners in front of the slaves, took money, perhaps made life miserable for him. And you're getting this letter. Mm-hmm. This letter says, now here's the guy that ran away from you. I need you to receive him back. How are you going to feel? Would you feel good about that? I don't want to. Amen. So you can imagine how Philemon is feeling here with this letter. I mean, here comes Onesimus through the door. Hey, I'm home. I can see Philemon said, chain him. Get him, beat him, flog him, frisk him. Whatever he's got, give it to me, because he stole from me.
Oh yeah, Pastor.
But before they can get there, he says, Paul the Apostle. And Philemon says, where'd you get that name from? Paul the Apostle sent me back with this letter, and he wrote something here, and he said you'd know his handwriting, and so I want you to read this letter first before you do anything. Now, he's been unprofitable. Mm-hmm. What do you think Philemon is thinking? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Apostle Paul. Yeah, right. What's the likes of you doing with Apostle Paul? How would you feel getting this letter? Knowing that this person clearly did you an injustice, and now someone is telling you to receive him back. Old man, come on. I wish I would receive you back. On what grounds does Paul have to tell me to receive you back? Do you know I was a laughing stock amongst everybody, including my own slave, that you ran away and you want me to receive you back? It takes a lot to swallow that. It would take a lot. But that's pretty much what's going on here. Notice what he says in verse 10 again. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to the enemy, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. Receive him basically like you would me, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He said, you know what? I would have used him in your place.
Right.
Verse 14, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. He said, I don't want to do this without you knowing. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So Onesimus was considered unprofitable. He was saved, but he's still suffering. Now he appears back at his master's place. And so we see the revelation of Christian grace. By the way, you and I cannot remove evil from the world.
Right.
Go to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4. Romans 3 and verse 4. We cannot remove evil from the world. And if we cannot remove evil from the world, what can we do and what should we do? Can we stop people from being unjust toward us? No. So we cannot remove evil. What are we as Christians supposed to do? Romans chapter number 3. What are we as Christians supposed to do? Notice Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Okay, that's not the one that I want. That's not the verse that I was looking for. Romans 3. I put down Romans 3, 4, but that is not the verse that I was looking up. Amen. All right. Well, anyway. 312. No, it was one dealing with grace. And I thought it was Romans 3. 324. Yes, that's it.
There we go.
Yes, I just put down Romans 4, but I meant Romans 3:24. There we go. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Knowing that we cannot remove injustice from the world.
That's right, Pastor, we can.
What is our only recourse? To show the same grace that we got. Why? Were we unjust towards God? And what did God give us?
We were.
God gave us grace.
Yes, sir, he did.
And God gave us grace. Guess what's going to help the next person that's in an unjust situation, that's unjust toward us?
Mm-hmm.
Grace.
Grace.
We know we can't do evil for evil.
That's right.
We know we can't go out and sock everybody that sins against us.
No, we can't.
We know we can't go beat them up. We know we can't do wrong, and so what is the only recourse? To show them grace. Why? The same grace that God showed us.
That's right, Pastor.
What does it say? All have sinned and what come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so the only thing that you and I can do is show grace. In other words, where there is injustice, there's an opportunity for you and I to respond in grace.
Amen.
Respond to grace. Yes, sir. Go ahead, read that one. Amen.
Amen, brother, sir.
So the only thing that you and I can do is show the grace of God.
Yes, sir, Pastor, we can.
Why? We can't do evil towards them.
No, we cannot.
And guess what? If evil overcomes us, as Romans 12 says, then what's going to happen? Then we're going to do evil for evil. Will we be an example of Christ likeness? No.
No, we will not.
Now think about this, just for a moment. Mm-hmm. Of all the unjust Christians in the world, if you and I are honest, there are some just Christians that you know that helped you to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
You remember their example. You remember that there were some people living for God that did stand amongst all the other Christians that didn't stand. In your mind, there were some that did stand and they made a difference. Now, what if they all did evil for evil? And they were not the example. But you and I can remember there's been some Christians that stood up. And you can say, man, they did what a Christian ought to do.
Yes, sir.
And they made a difference. You know what happened? They showed grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can guarantee you somebody was unjust towards them. And so the revelation of Christian grace has come to you and I, and we have been saved by God's grace through his mercy. And go over to Luke 23 and verse 34, the epitome of what Jesus Christ did and what he said. Luke 23 and verse 34. Hopefully I wrote this one down right. Luke 23:34. Who's there got that one? Can read that one. Luke 23:34. Who's got that one there? Still going. Tasha, you got that one? Go ahead and read that one. That's the epitome of grace. They don't really know what they're doing. Now think about it. Do people really know what they're doing when they sin against us in an unjust way? They really don't. You know, we use the phrase, they're not in their right mind. Sinners aren't in their right mind. They really aren't. And guess what? I'll go a step further. When you and I sin, we're not in our right mind.
That's right, Pastor.
Because whose mind should we have? The mind of Christ. So when sinners sin against us, they're not in their right mind. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when you and I sin, we're not in our right minds. Because we're supposed to have the mind of Christ, who did no evil. And so we're basically in the same boat as them. The only difference is we're going up, they're going down.
Yes, sir.
And so when you look at the revelation of Christian grace there, we need to have this grace. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, the revelation of Christian grace, you and I should use opportunities of injustice,
yes,
to show the grace of God. And one of the ways we can is, A, love every believer in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Love every believer in Christ. When someone is going through difficulty, be an instrument of God's grace to show his love toward them. Many times unfair or hard circumstances open up a door of opportunity for witnessing. And that was the case with Paul and Onesimus. By the way, there's always going to be an opportunity for you to show God's grace.
Amen.
because somebody's going to always be unjust towards you. You can always smile at them. You can always say, God bless you. I've had some rude people towards me.
Yeah, Pastor.
You know what I say? God bless you. Amen.
God bless you. God still loves you anyway.
And in the back of your mind, your heart, you got to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
They're not in their right mind.
Amen.
The same way I'm not in my right mind when I sin against you. Brings it personal, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, Pastor, it does.
Because they're doing the same thing. You and I are responsible to love everybody. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. He extended to everybody. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He extended eternal life to anybody if they would take him up on that. Amen. By the way, Jesus Christ wants us to love everybody. And not only that, he calls us to be responsible to love everybody. Go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 John 4:8. Now, just because we're responsible to love everybody, does that make everybody lovable? No. Some people are just downright unlovely.
Yeah.
Would you agree with me?
No, amen.
Some people just downright, that means they're mean, they're spiteful, they're hateful. I mean, they wake up on the wrong side of the bed every day.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
1 John chapter number 4, and notice verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another. Why? Love is of God.
Yes, sir.
And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Love. So if I love somebody else, that means that I'm showing God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So when you look at this aspect of love every believer, you and I are responsible to love everybody. Does that mean that everybody's going to love us back?
Nope.
Wouldn't that be nice if everybody loved you back?
Yes, sir.
Everywhere you went, people were kind to you. Everybody would bend over backwards to help you out. Wouldn't that be kind? In the story, everybody says, oh, no, you first. No, you first. No, you first. And nobody would go first. Amen. But still,
amen.
I mean, if you had that kind of an attitude, if everybody loved everybody, everybody picked up the trash out of their neighbor's yard. They picked up the, you know, the dog excrements out of the yard and all the other things that people throw in your yard. You know, all the trash that everybody did right. Wouldn't this be a perfect world?
Yes, sir. It would be. Perfect.
It's coming.
It's
not here yet, though.
Yet.
And guess what we have to show in that instance? Grace.
Grace.
Grace. What is grace? What's that?
Not giving what they deserve.
Well, that's mercy, but grace is giving them what they don't deserve. Giving them what they don't deserve. Amen. Grace. Do we deserve grace?
No, we do not.
Do the people that treat us unjustly deserve grace?
No.
Did God, yes, Ms. Dawson? Divine touch upon the heart. Amen. That means God moves upon a person's heart to show his love. Amen.
Amen.
And by the way, you've got to have a divine touch upon your heart to show grace,
yes,
especially to unlovely people. Because there are some unlovely people outside.
There is, Pastor.
And if we're honest, sometimes we can be unlovely too.
Mm-hmm.
You ever get that feeling that when you're mad and mean and gripey and grumpy and and you think, I don't even like being this way. I don't even like being this way. And what do? We try and justify, but I'm justified to be this way. No, you're not. Amen. All right. So God wants us to love each other. Amen. By the way, let me read this. There may be a person in our lives who is unjust and unfair to us. We must respond with the love and grace of God, and we will find our hearts changed towards them. They may or may not change their behavior, but we cannot control that. We can only control our attitude and our conduct toward them. Amen. Are we going to have our Onesimuses?
Yes.
Yes. There are going to be people that are going to treat you and I bad, like Onesimus. They're going to take from you. They're going to steal from you. They're going to rob from you. They're going to do certain things against you. And then they may go and get saved.
Yeah.
And guess what? You got to confront them again.
Yes, sir. We do, Pastor.
Hey, folks, I've had some people in my life that have wronged me, and I had to confront them again, even in my own family. And I left unsaved with this kind of an attitude. And God saved me, and I had to come back and say, you know what? I forgive you.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
I forgive you. Say, preacher, was it easy? No, it was hard. It was hard. Because I still had the memory of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurt me. But I had to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And guess what? I did worse things to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if an Onesimus comes back into your life and they are saved? What will you do? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's look at that for a second. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. If an Onesimus comes back in your life, this person treated you bad, they treated you wrong, but they come back saying they're saved, how are you going to treat them? Now, by the way, first thing, may I say this, don't be foolish.
Amen, Pastor.
Don't
Amen.
Be foolish. What do I mean by that? Just because they say they're saved, that doesn't mean a hill of beans.
That's right, Pastor.
Don't be foolish.
Mm, that's good, Pastor.
But Onesimus is coming back with a letter from the Apostle Paul, which gives it authenticity. And so don't be foolish. Just because somebody says they're saved and they want to come back into your life, you better try the spirits, whether they're of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Matter of fact, verse 11, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou what? An example of the believers in what? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So he gives both how Philemon should behave, but also what he should see in Onesimus' life. 2 Corinthians said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what?
A new creature.
Is Onesimus just here to get the goods and steal more slaves and head out again, or is he really saved? The Bible says, hey, you know, be example of the believer. So he had to come back with a humble spirit, number one.
Yep.
He had to come back with some type of a penitence in his mind, his heart. I'm sorry for what I did.
Mm-hmm.
He had to come back submissive, putting himself back under Philemon's rule. And so you've got to really think about that. Think about the one of the most vile people that you know of in your life that's wronged you. Say they got saved and they call you tomorrow. What are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do?
That's good, Pastor. That's a good question.
What are you going to do? One thing, you should be thankful.
Yes, sir.
But you can't be gullible.
That's right.
Can't be gullible. Okay. Praise God, you got saved.
Amen.
One of the first things I ask people is, where'd you get saved and how'd you get saved? Where'd you get saved and how'd you get saved? And they say, well, I went and got baptized. Antenna goes up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They say, well, look, I spoke in tongues. Well, I joined the church. Well, I got baptized. Well, I turned over a new leaf.
Yeah.
When they start saying, well, somebody took a Bible and they told me I was a sinner. Mm-hmm. They told me how Christ died for my sins. And they said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when they start talking like that, my ears go up. Man.
Uh-huh.
Repent ye therefore and receive the gospel. Hey, you might have got something. Amen. Hey.
Amen.
And I'm trying to get them in a good church. Amen.
Amen.
But love every believer in Christ. And I would say every non-believer, you and I need to be the example. By the way, you may have an Onesimus in your life that is suffering, but you also may be a Philemon that is suffering the loss. We still have to be the example. Notice B, encourage every believer in Christ. We've got to love every believer. We understand that. We're going to have Onesimuses in our life, and we got to love them. But then encourage every believer. By the way, there are people in our lives who are suffering and they need our encouragement and reminder of God's love. By the way, can it be difficult to interact with someone that's going through a loss like Philemon went through? Yes. Think about it. He's facing the shame of the slave leaving. He may have stolen, but now he's got the ridicule of the other slave masters. Ha ha ha, your slave got away. Then he's got the other slaves looking at him saying, boy, you just can't keep control. Maybe I ought to start trying to get away from you. So you've got all this going on in his life. How do you encourage somebody like that? Well, you know, you could give him a word. You know, at least there's only one. Remember Jesse had he said he had the Filipino that always would encourage him.
Mm-hmm.
F may stand for fail, but also faith that you'll pass the next time.
Yep.
You say, well, that's not consoling when I have an F. Well, it should be because an F is not going to last forever. Amen. But encouragement, encourage every believer. There's several things that we could do, but the power of a word of encouragement is impossible to overstate. Remember the case with Job. How long did Job's friends sit with him before they opened their mouths? Anybody remember? Let's go over to Job real quick. Job chapter 2. It was a considerable amount of time. Job chapter 2. Notice down in verse number 11. 13. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights. Notice this. And none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Sometimes when people go through a situation like this and they're in the situation that Philemon is in where the loss is there and the ridicule could have been there, sometimes the best thing you can do is just say nothing.
That's right, Pastor.
I'm praying for you. Maybe touch him. Put your arm around his shoulder. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's like. You just pray for him. They sat down and they said nothing for 7 days because it says, they saw his grief was very great. And so sometimes the power of a word of encouragement is impossible to overstate. Sometimes silence is best recorded in our lips is what we should say. Mm-hmm. Many times people, when they go through an injustice, they feel isolated and alone. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how I feel. And guess what? We don't.
That's right, Pastor.
Why? Right. We're not them. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Paul was not Philemon. Nor was Paul Onesimus. Paul is Paul. And Paul had to give some encouragement from the word of God as to God's grace and God's goodness. And so the encouragement is to love every believer who is going through an injustice. Encourage every believer who's experiencing an injustice. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 real quick. 2 Timothy 4. And we're winding down with this. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice verse number 10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul says, only Luke is with me right now. And so he felt very isolated. And how do you encourage a believer like that? Well, at least Luke is there.
Yep.
At least Luke is there. When a Christian is going through a time of injustice, maybe you need to send him a card, maybe send him a text, maybe send him a scripture reference, maybe give him some words of encouragement, maybe help him out with something. Paul's encouragement to Philemon was this: review Onesimus again. He's profitable. Review him. He is profitable.
Yep.
Paul's assessment of him was, you know, he was once unprofitable, but God has changed him. By the way, do you know that time can change people?
So it can, Pastor, it can.
Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Mm-hmm. I like to think that God has changed me for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that you would like to say that God has changed you for the better.
Amen, Pastor.
And if God has changed me for the better and God has changed you for the better, why couldn't he change the Onesimus in your life for the better?
That's right, Pastor.
And so God wants you to show some love towards him. Some grace toward him or her. Encourage him or her. Review him. He is profitable. Receive him as a brother.
Mm-hmm.
Again, think of the command here that of what Paul is asking Philemon.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he's profitable. Now think about it. There are certain people that can bring out the best in other people. Think about some of the great commanders of our war's history. Some of the great commanders, George Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They can bring out the best.
Yes, sir, they can, Pastor.
So in other words, Paul is saying, he got saved. I'm sending him back. God has done a work in him. Now, Onesimus is coming back, and I want you to review him. He's profitable, but receive him as a brother. Bring out in him the Christ-likeness. Give him opportunities to serve. Give him some places of responsibility. Try him first. Test him first to make sure he's going to be faithful. Quiet and stewards and man be found faithful. But review him and then prove him. God wants us to treat every brother the same. No matter how they grew up or where they grew up. Amen. By the way, someone can bring it up. It says this in the book. There may be changes God is working in someone's life that we need to recognize and encourage. There is potential and profitability in every Amen. Believer. You know, I marvel at some of the football coaches out there, like Urban Meyer. He can go down to Florida yeah. and win a championship, then come up to Ohio State and win a championship. Where other men couldn't do that. Nick Saban, how he can take a group of boys and win a championship. Bear Bryant, Vince Lombardi, take a group of men and from different cultures and different backgrounds and bring them together and bring out the potential in them. Tom Landry, some of the great coaches down through the years, got a motley crew of men from all over the place and can bring something. But guess what? That's what the military does. They get men from all over America and bring these men together for a common cause, whether it's in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines. And they say, look, you're going to wear the same colors. We're going for one cause and one command and one goal. That's the United States. Hey, for us as a Christian, it's one cause and one goal. And that's the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ, the banner. So Paul is saying, review him and then receive him and list him in the banner, in the army. Let him carry the banner and then see how much profit is in him. What am I saying? In your life and in my life, there's going to be some Onesimuses that have wronged us. Somewhere along the line, they may come back. And God wants you and I to treat them with grace and mercy. Receive them. Review them first. He said, review them. But then receive them. And see what God can do. By the way, if God used you, he can use somebody else.
Yes, sir, he can, Pastor. He sure can.
Amen. Let me give you Philippians 2:13 for next week. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2 and verse number 13. It'll be our memory verse for next week again. Think about the revelation of Christian grace. There is going to be injustice. There is going to be someone treating us bad. And our job is to show grace, love every believer in Christ. They're going through some tough times, possibly. But then encourage every believer in Christ. We may have to review them and receive them that have gone through some difficulties, whether they're Onesimus or whether they're Philemon. Both had an injustice. Onesimus was a slave. That was unfair. Philemon had a slave run away. That was unfair. And so either way it goes, God may bring an Onesimus your way, or you may be a Philemon. The grace of God is what's going to make the difference. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, thank you for this morning. Help us, Lord, when the Onesimus has come into our life. Lord, help us when we become the Philemon and an injustice is done towards us. Help us to understand the grace of God gives us an opportunity to show love. The grace of God gives us a chance to show encouragement to a believer. The grace of God gives us a chance to receive someone back. The grace of God gives us a chance to review them honestly and honorably through the Word of God. And help us, Lord, as you work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, all of us will be dealt with unjustly this week, but help us to respond with love, with care, with kindness, with concern of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us. Bless now. Refreshments next door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.